I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I don't know what it could be. Deuteronomy chapter, we looked at the end of chapter 26, which really introduces chapter 27. We're rolling along, and we should be done by summertime. No, it'll be before that, I think. I can't say. I don't know. Moses' explanation of the law ended in chapter 26, verse number 15. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 26, 16, and this will carry us through chapter 31 and verse number 13. Again, Moses' explanation of the law ended in 26, 15, and now he begins his long farewell address to an end with a personal challenge to obedience. The Lord is King. Israel is his chosen nation and special people. He defeated Egypt, set Israel free to love and serve him. Moses has reminded them what the Lord did for Israel and said to Israel, and he has spelled out the terms of the covenant. Now he's going to lay out the benefits of obedience and the hardships that will come by disobedience. Then we read chapter 26, 16 through 19. I feel that annoying little itch in my throat that's going to make me start coughing. And I don't want to cough my way through today. That's annoying for you, annoying for me, and it messes the message up. Anybody have any jerky in your pocket? I think beef jerky probably, it'd probably work, wouldn't it? Or deer jerky, either one. Scotty was going to make me deer jerky. He's still waiting. Where is it, Scotty?
There's a process, sir.
Pardon me?
There's a process.
I know. You got to dry it, and then you got to get, come on. You know, he's still got the deer hanging out in the yard. It's self-drying. All right. Chapter 26. The end of the chapter. I want to read 16 through, I'm going to have you do it. Why should I read it? And then it makes me cough more. 16 through 19, I know it's been read before, but read it, because we've been a couple weeks now. George, go ahead. I know you read it. Put your hand up.
This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken.
All right. Thank you, sir. Don't forget verses 16 through 19 were a sort of formal ratification of, and there's two names given. You have the Mosaic Covenant, and it's also called, same covenant, called the Sinaitic, you know, because of Mount Sinai. I like to call it, because it's easier to pronounce, just call it the Mosaic Covenant. It was a conditional covenant. The Abrahamic Covenant, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abraham. Remember that? And God took, back then, they would take a heifer, they would cut it long ways, lay the pieces out, the halves out, and the parties that were making the covenant, the agreement between them, would walk between the pieces to ratify the covenant. In this case, Abraham was put to sleep by God, and God himself walked through the pieces. So God keeping that covenant was not determined by the obedience of Abraham or the people. On the other hand, the Mosaic Covenant depended upon, the blessings of that covenant depended upon obedience. If you do this, God said, then I will do that. So keep that in mind as we go through this, because it definitely matters. Of course, it matters anyway to have the blessing of God, even if the covenant's unconditional. It's not like there's no impact if Israel disobeyed. There certainly was. It delayed a lot of things, didn't it? And God still had to deal with them. All right, so this is a sort of formal ratification of the Mosaic Covenant between the Lord and the second generation of Israel. What happened to the first generation? Yeah, they all died except Joshua and Caleb, because 10 of the spies said, nope, can't take the land. There's giants there. And they were faithless. Anytime we are faithless, it severely limits what God will do for us, because God wants us to believe. To believe. Believe what? Believe whatever he says. You mean all of it? The whole Bible? Yeah, all of it. You mean even the hard stuff? Yeah. We can't pick and choose, which is what a lot of people try to do. Some churches, denominations try to pick and choose. Well, that can't be true. The flood, the Noahic flood, no, that's not possible. All the people, they were delivered out of Egypt and they walked through the Red Sea on dry land. No. What happened was it wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. That's a little bit north, and certain times of the year, the wind would blow, and the ground, that part of the sea, it would dry out. So that's what it's talking about. Now, Jesus, he didn't do miracles. Come on. No. Jesus died and rose again. They didn't rise again. He was actually in a coma. They took him down off the cross, and then he went into the tomb, and it was cold and damp in there, and he revived with a big hole in his side, and all of his blood drained out. He revived. It was a miracle. Oh, no, we don't believe in miracles, they would say. We have to believe it all, even parts that require that we live a certain life. Right? Yeah, that's really hard. Yeah, that's why we have the Holy Spirit if we're saved. Because we can't do it ourselves. There's only one person that could do it. One person could obey this law that we're looking at, and that was Jesus. All the rest of us, we struggle and we fail, but God has given us what we need. All we have to do is insincerity and brokenness, confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great God he is. So the covenant was made between the Lord and the second generation, a kind of a second formal ratification. The people acknowledged the Lord as their God and promised to obey with their whole hearts and to desire to obey his voice. They had the assurance that they were his people, chosen over all nations to receive his blessings. They were called to witness to the world of his great glory. Just like we as his people today are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, number one, the choice presented. The choice presented. In verses 16 through 19 of chapter 26, Moses gives an introduction to the section. He reminds them that he has given them the word of God. They needed to be reminded again. What I'm telling you is not from me, Moses would say. It is the very word of God, which are the commandments of the true and living God. He reminds them that at Sinai, the nation had vowed to obey all that God had said to them. In Exodus chapter 19, Exodus 19, verses 7 and 8. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. You ever made promises like that to God? Maybe you read something or you heard something preached or taught, and you made a commitment to God, Lord, I'm gonna do that. Or if the case may be, I'm not gonna do that. And then shortly after, you realize you failed to keep that commitment. You meant it when you said it, but then you failed to keep it. Again, God is a forgiving God. But the key is sincerity and a real desire to do right. We can't have an attitude that, well, no biggie, I can always confess it. And, you know, God said he'd forgive me. Not with that attitude. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And then chapter 24 in Exodus. Exodus 24. And if one of you would be so kind as to read verses 3 through 8. Verses 3 through 8. Anybody? Volunteer? Okay, Baka. Little Barb.
And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill, the 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words.
All right. Thank you, Becca. I now turn back to Deuteronomy. So you see the blood applied. This was serious. People weren't just making flippant promises. These were heartfelt. They meant what they said. I believe that. Most of the people, they meant what they said. But of course, they failed over and over again, just like we do. God had promised to bless them if they obeyed from the heart. Write down chapter 7 here in Deuteronomy. We're not going to go back and read it, but chapter 7, 6 through 16. 7, 6 through 16. So on the plains of Moab, the Israelites would accept this solemn commitment a second time. And later would affirm it yet another time after they entered the promised land. And we'll see that when we get to Joshua next. Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 through 35. So with the blessings and the privileges of the covenant comes responsibility. And God has greatly blessed us, and we have the completed Word of God, and we have the church, and we have the Holy Spirit, we have one another, we have the blessings of prayer and the promises of the Word of God. But anytime we have blessings, along with that comes responsibility. Same with the people of Israel. They had many blessings and many privileges. They were God's chosen nation. But they also had some serious responsibilities. That's something we try to teach our kids when they're younger, right? We teach them that blessings will come, but along with those blessings come responsibility. You remember when you got your first bicycle? I remember I wanted a 10-speed really bad. Schwinn was a big thing back then. They were talking about in the 60s, Schwinn. You had to have a Schwinn Varsity. How many had a Schwinn Varsity? There was one above that. We weren't in that league. I forget what you called it. Anybody remember Schwinn something above a Varsity? No bicycle enthusiast here? Anyway, finally, I was back then, a Schwinn Varsity, kind of a stripped-down Schwinn Varsity, was about $70. If you had it with chrome fenders weren't really in, but my dad got it with chrome fenders. It was quite a nice bike. And it was like $100. That's a lot of money in the 60s. $100 for a bicycle? Are you kidding me? That's a big sacrifice for my parents. But problem was I was almost 17. Well, what do you do when you turn 16, guys? What do? Hey, you get a car, you drive. Well, that's when I got my 10-speed. But I was still tickled, and I used it a lot until I got my first car. A neighbor sold their 61 Chevy Impala for $25. And that was my first car. I know you wanted to know that, right? 283 four barrel. It had a 2-speed power slide. They called it a power glide. It was really a power slide because it went into second gear. Yeah, it was great. But it got me around. But when I got that 10-speed, my dad made it clear it was to be stored in the garage. He gave me the rules, you know. I got blessed with this 10-speed that I've been wanting for years, and he didn't say just leave it out in the street. Okay, you know, maybe somebody will steal it. Make sure that thing's out in the garage. By the way, you want to know the story of the bike? Let me give you the final chapter. I went in the military, came home on leave, was going to ride that bike, went in the garage. Guess what? It wasn't there. You know why? My little brother was using it. He's 4 years younger than me. Some of you have met him. He was here last year. And he took it down to Jackson Park, and it got stolen. So that was the end of my 10-speed. That was it. All right. So, again, responsibilities come with blessings. And this is what basically Moses is going to explain here. So this would be letter A underneath Roman numeral 1, the choice presented, which, by the way, is 26:16 through 28:15. 26:16 through 28:15, the choice presented. The two mountains, chapter 27, 1 through 13. 27, 1 through 13. If somebody would read, let's just read through verse number 9. Let me see. Verse 8. 1 through 8, because we only have short time left. Who would like to read? You're just in the mood. You just can't withhold the desire that you have to read the Word of God this morning. Scott, go ahead. 1 through 8.
On the day of Passover, unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. There shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. Offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly.
All right, thank you, Scott. The two mountains. Moses, of course, was soon to die. His time was almost up. So in verse number 1, we see that Moses and the elders, and if you look at verse 9, the priests were also involved. The priests, the elders, and Moses went to Mount Ebal. The nation would continue, of course, after Moses was gone. No one is irreplaceable, and the authority ultimately belonged to the Lord anyway. He was the God of heaven. He was the God of Israel. He was the ultimate leader, just like the church. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that gave himself for the church. He shed his blood. He established the church. And who ultimately is building the church? Christ said, I will build my church. Did he not? But he uses people. That's why we are his ambassadors. We are sent out to represent him, to a lost and dying world. How are we doing representing him? I mean, that's a serious question. I mean, if somebody examined our lives to see what Christianity was all about, would they desire to have what we have? I mean, if we're out there always moaning and groaning and complaining and, you know, we don't show any desire to magnify the name of the Lord because everything's so horrible, and we don't show the power of God in our lives through obedience and faith, why would somebody want what we have, right? Maybe that's why it's so hard to get people to come to church. Well, why would I go there? Is that where you go? Yeah, that's where you go. Well, I mean, I don't go there. I might turn out like you. I mean, that's awful, isn't it? But, I mean, hey, the shoe fits, put that bad boy on, right? Well, the nation would continue under the Lord's authority, operating through their civil and religious leaders. So the people were committing themselves to the Lord. They weren't committing themselves to Moses, it was to the Lord. And the Lord had avouched, verse number 18, the last chapter, this day to be his peculiar people as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. The commitment is made to God himself. Moses, verse 1, with the elders of Israel, and again the priests, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, large stone pillars, and plaster them with plaster. Kind of like a whitewash. The reason that was done, you pile the stones up, plaster them with a whitewash so that they could be written upon. And Moses had to write down all of the commandments that God would give, not just the ten. It wasn't two little tablets of stone. These things were huge. Now, I don't mean the entire all 613 laws and ordinances, but whatever, you know, applied right here. I don't know how much it would have been, but it would have been a lot. And then, as we have to wrap it up, Mount Gerizim was the Mount of Blessing. That was a mountain to the south. And then to the north was Mount Ebal. That was called the Mount of Cursings. Six tribes went to the Mount of Blessing, six tribes to the Mount of Cursing, which we will see here next time, Lord willing. And then in between the two was the city of Shechem. And so you had cursings pronounced as well as blessings. If people disobeyed, then there would be consequences. Any questions or comments? Today's the 19th, right? My brother has got a birthday coming up on Tuesday. He'll be 66. He's just a kid. All right, let me write me a note here. Verse 2. And that was today. I got to write everything down because I finally learned that I can say in my mind, I'll remember that. And then tomorrow when I go to upload this, if I don't write it down, I'll forget by tomorrow how far I got. So, all right, Brother Alan, you're going to grab that prayer list back here and come on up here and go through that. I'm going to let that run. And that way, if somebody needs to hear it, you can go online, newvisionbaptistchurch.org, click on Sermon Archives. And if you want the prayer list, Alan's going to read it, and you can jot it down. What do you think of that?
Or you can do what I do.
What's that?
most Sundays when I remember. I take a picture of it.
There you go.
And I print it out when I get home.
What a concept.
Anyway.
It's a genius.
So we need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our nation. What do we need to pray for our nation? But we need to pray for the church as well. Yeah. We need to get the church back to life so that we can go out and bring other people to life. Situation in Ukraine. Law enforcement. Good News Club, which you said is not meeting tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow's a holiday, isn't it? President's Day.
It is.
President's Day. That's the day I know I won't get any bills.
There you go.
Anyway.
Bless it. You get double on Tuesday.
That's right. We have here, Mark, health problems. If you have any updates, just say so. Interrupt me. It's okay. Missy Nixon. Bill Nicholson. Mike, the HVAC man, what's the scoop there?
Haven't heard anything new. I got to contact Gary.
Okay.
I heard through Scott, through Gary, that he's got cancer in various parts of his body and brain and liver. It's not good. It's not good at all. So.
Okay. Our grandson, Ezra, we don't have any new updates that I'm aware of. So just continue to pray for him. Ronnie and his mom. Kathy with her leg. What's the deal there?
I have a boot on it because they think it's a
stress
fracture, but it's
okay.
It's just a guess like you and I have.
I remember you talking about last Sunday saying that you were.
So you can't tell if it's hurting or not because it's too, everything's tight. Your leg can't move.
Okay.
But when I walk on them, I can take a shower. It doesn't hurt, so I'm hoping it's helping.
Okay.
Thank you for your prayers.
We will continue to pray for that. The earthquakes. The last number I heard was 48,000, or million.
Million?
Thousand. 48,000. 48,000.
48 million.
I don't know why I said million.
48,000, bad enough.
48,000. I had heard last week that some people expecting it to go up to six figures.
Probably so, yeah. So. Yeah, I would think so.
Is that a total of the 48,000 between Syria and Turkey?
Yeah.
Turkey, I know, has the much larger number. Mm. But, okay. Kelly. And her husband, James.
Yeah, that's my daughter. It's a rental nightmare. The guy they rented from is... Because they both sold their houses. Because neither house... Kelly's house was too small for all of them when she got married in fall. So they're going to get another house. But in the meantime, they're going to rent. And they rented this place, and the guy turned out to be a real shyster. This guy's a real... So anyway, pray for him. Mm-hmm. It's working out. Slowly, things are working out. Mm. They're not out in the street or anything like that, so that's a good thing.
I have here Mason and Kelly. In parentheses says his mom in Uruguay until February 27th.
Billy can put that down there.
Okay. So.
Medical mission trip.
Okay. Oh, okay. And Lori. Cancer on intestines. Is that our Lori? Okay. So we need to continue to pray. Yesterday we had the memorial service for Billy Joe's, it's actually a great niece, her sister's granddaughter, Christina Speaks, and her son, Jackson, I don't know his last, Martin, was it? Yeah, Jackson Martin, that died in the fire about a month ago or so. Anyway, so continue to pray for the family. They seem to be holding up okay, but prayer for... Some, obviously their emotional needs at this time, but also spiritual needs. One person asked us, what do you do? What do you do in a situation like that? How do you handle it? And of course, you know, the answer is God, but it's a hard answer to give and just sounds like a pat answer to some people, but so that is where we need to go to the Lord. And of course, we as followers need to be there for these folks that go through the trying times and for each other as we go through trying times. Any other prayer request updates on anything? Anything you want to praise the Lord for this morning? That we're able to be here this morning?
He's a great God.
Amen. He's a great God.
Yeah.
Amen. My aunt celebrated her 99th birthday yesterday, so we had her dinner. And,
wow.
You know, she can't see well. She's not blind, but she can't see well. So she thought she was going into a restaurant. And so when she came into the house, everybody hollered surprise, and she was so shocked. I don't think she even knew what was going on.
Wow.
But she was 99 yesterday.
99.
Still does room cleaning, still does.
Wow, that's amazing. She must eat a lot of meat. Yeah. That's the secret to a long life.
Was it here that somebody mentioned somebody's coming up on a 70th anniversary?
Yeah, that was...
Leonard's sister.
Okay.
Bill there in California. He's the one with the cancer.
He's 89,
that's
right?
That's March the 6th, so...
89, yeah. He's going to be 89. It's a miracle. It's been a couple of years, hasn't it, that he's had this cancer?
Yes.
I mean, God's kept him... And he's doing fairly well, right? I mean, God's amazing. In case you hadn't noticed, you probably noticed that. Yeah.
I'm just praising for the many, many, many times he protects me from myself.
Isn't that the truth?
I get all messed up.
He blesses us in spite of ourselves.
So, anything else before we go to the Lord? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to share our joys and concerns. You've told us to do that in your word, Lord. Touched on that a little bit last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We thank you that we do, as the body of Christ, hurt when another member of the body of Christ hurts. And we do rejoice when they rejoice. And even if it's people outside of the body of Christ, Lord, we love them because you love us and because you love them. And Lord, we hurt for families that have lost loved ones. We hurt for those who are suffering physically. And we pray that you would help us not to forget each other, but to hold each other up in prayer and to be there to meet needs. Lord, I just thank you for the body of Christ. I just thank you so much for the body of Christ, the church. I praise you and thank you that you allowed me to be a part of the church, part of your body, part of those who are going to spend eternity together with you. And Lord, I know there are so many times I've never had a time in my life where I haven't had somebody I could turn to. And it's a blessing because I hear that there are others that don't have that. And I pray that we would help them realize that they do have somebody they can turn to, and that is Jesus and us. Lord, I pray that we would not just give pat answers, but that we would be there for people, that we would not just say, be warmed and filled, but we would be there to warm them and fill them. Lord, I just pray that you'd just take care of our church, help us to grow in number as well as spiritually, Lord. We pray to draw people in through this body of believers to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for a revival in the church as well as a spiritual awakening in this nation, Lord.
Amen.
And throughout the world. I pray that would happen among your chosen people. Lord, there's definitely a spiritual awakening that needs to happen there, a revival. Lord, people among your church people need to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. We need to take that message to them, Lord. I pray for the situation in Ukraine and Russia. I pray that Lord, I pray that peace would reign, that of course, true peace only comes through Jesus Christ. I pray that people would submit to you. I thank you for law enforcement, Lord, those who put their lives on the line, and pray that you would help those of us who you are protecting through them, that you would help us to respect them and to honor them and to hold them up. Pray for the Good News Club, even though it's not meeting tomorrow. We pray that in the coming weeks, souls would be saved, children would come to know Jesus, those who already know you would take the message to their family, the families would be reached through this ministry. Thank you for it. Pray for a pastor and the others, the team, as they go there and share the gospel with those children. We pray for the health of several here, Lord, Mark and Missy and Bill and Mike and Ezra. We pray for Kathy and for, do pray for our daughter-in-law, Ashley. She seems to be doing better. Pray that she would make a complete recovery. Pray for Lori. Pray for the needs of the one in Uruguay. On that medical missions trip, I pray that you would help them to help others as well, physically as well as spiritually, Lord. Pray for the situation over in Turkey and Syria, that you would just, Lord, I pray that the recovery efforts would continue, and though there isn't much hope for recovering people alive, at this point, we pray that you would comfort those who have lost loved ones. Thank you for what appears to be some miracles of the length of the time that some of the people did live. And even as Billy Joe shared last week about the birth of the baby that survived. And we pray that you would help us to help the people there, Lord. We pray for Ronnie and his mom, and Kelly and James as they face this situation. I pray that you would work all things out for your glory. And Lord, I just pray now that you'd bless as we go into our worship service. I pray that you would help us to honor and glorify you through the preaching and applying of your word, through singing praises to you, the prayer, giving to your work, Lord. I pray that we would just truly worship you. Bless the pastors, you give us the message. May it be a powerful message that changes our hearts and helps us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take about 7 minutes, and then we'll come back, okay?